إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our fifth session. Reading from the explanation of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, his explanation of the chapter from Riyad al-Salihin entitled Al-Mubadara ila al-Khayrat, yani hastening towards good deeds and urging one who is headed towards good to advance with eagerness and without hesitation. The hadith that we're going to discuss tonight is the second hadith from this chapter. But before we do that, inshallah, hadith number 88, but before we do that, we want to look quickly at some of the issues that we discussed last week and summarize some of the points by answering the questions from the questionnaire study guide number 4. The first question being, explain the intended meaning of al-a'mal, actions or deeds, in the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, hasten to actions, yani badiru bil a'mal fitnatan taqita al-layl al-muzlim. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said badiru bil a'mal, what is the meaning of yani actions al-a'mal? What did he mean by yani hasten to doing deeds? Musa, naam, what is intended by this is Al-A'mal As-Saliha, yani hasten to do deeds. Which kind of deeds? Yani good deeds, righteous deeds. Al-A'mal As-Saliha. The second question mentioned the two shurut, yani conditions for actions to be considered good deeds, yani accepted by Allah as acts of worship. Yani what are the conditions for a deed to be considered a good deed, yani that would be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an act of worship? Shu'aib. Yani al-ikhlas, the first condition al-ikhlas lillah, and the second condition al-mutaba'a li rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What do we mean by ikhlas lillah? What is the meaning of this?
Sincerity.
Naam. Sincerity. Tayyib. What do we mean by sincerity? Naam. Huh?
Purely
for the sake of Allah. Naam. Anything else? Yani al-ikhlas, it is translated as sincerity. Naam. But we mean by ikhlas is that a person does whatever they do, the deed that they do, with no other intent, no other objective, no other yani expectation or desire except to earn the pleasure of Allah. It's done for Allah exclusively, for Allah alone. This is the first condition, that what is done has to be for Allah alone, not expecting any other benefit from the people, from the world, praise or whatever. The second condition, al-mutaba'a, mutaba'a li Rasulillah. What do we mean by al-mutaba'a, Mustafa?
According to the sunnah.
Huh?
According to the sunnah.
Yani to follow, to adhere to, strictly adhere to the sunnah, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning that the action has to be done correctly, according to the sunnah, according to the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has demonstrated. If an action is not done correctly according to what has been legislated by Allah, it will never be accepted, even if a person is sincere. And if a person does it correctly, but they are not doing it purely for the sake of Allah, then it will also not be accepted. Both of these conditions have to be met. The third question, memorize the hadith, memorize, okay? So you have to recite from memory. Memorize the hadith Qudsi related to Allah's rejection of shirk and the mushrik. Yani the hadith reported by Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah. The hadith, yani in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejects shirk and rejects the person who commits shirk. Anybody memorize this hadith? Naam, Musa.
An Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qala Allahu ta'ala, ana aghna shuraka an shirk. Man amila amalan ashraka fihi ma'i
ghayri.
أحسنت
ما شاء الله. يعني the prophet the hadith is narrated on the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه that the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Allah himself, Allah says, hadith Qudsi, Allah is speaking, Allah himself is saying this. He's saying that I am the one who is most free of need of a partner, meaning that if anyone is or anything is associated with Allah, Allah is free of need of this. Allah has no need of anyone sharing with him in what he does. He has no need of anyone. He's completely yani ghaniyun, free of need of anything or anyone. And then he said, to clarify the issue, whoever does a deed in which they commit shirk, yani meaning they join something in that act with Allah, something other than Allah, then Allah, he said, taraktuhu wa shirkahu, yani that he abandons that person, yani the shirk and the person who does the shirk. Taraktuhu wa shirkahu, yani Allah abandons that person and Allah abandons the act that they have done. Allah doesn't accept it. He doesn't accept it. So this is very important that, yani this is a very severe warning and a reminder to us of the importance of avoiding shirk. And the way to avoid shirk is what? To yani do things with ikhlas. After this, discuss the intended meaning of fitan, which will be like pieces of the dark night. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said, badiru bil amal, hasten to do yani good deeds. Yani to before what? Before the fitan. The fitan which will be like ka qita' al-layli al-muzlim. What is intended by this expression? Qita' al-layl al-muzlim, yani patches or pieces or segments of the dark night. Naam, Abu Bakr.
It will be completely dark, there will be no light.
It will be completely dark. Yani la yara fiha an-nur. Yani light would not be seen in this darkness. Pitch dark, naam. What else?
One would be lost and confused.
Person would be lost, confused, hair. Yani confused, don't know what to do. Uh-huh. He doesn't know how to get out. He doesn't know where to go, nor how to get out of it. Yani, confusion, darkness, no way out. This is, yani, how the Prophet ﷺ described the severity of this type of fitna. This type of fitna. Question number 5. Mention the two divisions or types of fitan, yani, trials and tribulations. Two types or two divisions in consideration of the cause of the fitna. In consideration of what was the cause of the fitna? Two causes of fitna. Naam, Abdul Haq.
Doubtful matters.
And following lusts. Yani, the first cause that the Shaykh mentioned is the doubtful matters. Yani, shubuhat. Shubuhat means what? Those trials and tribulations that are based upon ignorance, jahl. Yani, because a person doesn't have knowledge, so they will become confused about an affair. They won't know if it is good or bad, if it is right or wrong, it's haram or permissible. Because of what? Jahl, because of ignorance. And this is the first type of fitan, yani the shubuhat. Doubtful matters that a person will be confused about because what? Because they don't have knowledge. And this shows the importance of knowledge. It's only the person who devotes themselves to learning their deen, to having knowledge, then they will know right from wrong. Otherwise the person will say, I didn't know, I didn't understand, I couldn't figure it out. Because of what? Jahl. And the second type he mentioned? Shahawat. Yani what did he say? What? The second type?
Desires.
Yani shahawat. This type of fitna It is the fitna of irada. A person has a desire, an intent to do something other than what is right. Yani they know that this thing is haram, but their nafs, their lower self, is calling them to do it. They want to do it, even though they know it's haram. So they don't care, they do it anyway. They know that this thing is obligatory, it's wajib, but yet their nafs is calling them to be lazy, to abandon that obligatory duty, so they abandon. This is the yani shahwat, the person following their desires, their desire to do something that Allah has forbidden, and their desire to abandon that which Allah has made obligatory. Mention an example of each type of fitna, trial or tribulation. An example yani of the shubuhat, for example. Now, somebody else, shubuhat. Now,
innovation,
huh?
Innovation in religion.
Okay, like innovation in religion, for example. It's general, specific, yani specific innovation.
By ignorance of those who are in good, in their creed.
Okay, those who innovate in creed, in aqidah. Like what though? Specifically, give me an innovation, yani that is from the shubahat, from the ignorance of the people. Now, al-bunuk al-riba. Naam, yani the people who are engaging in interest, yani dealing with interest transactions in the banks. Yani some people, they're confused about it. They don't know. They don't have knowledge, so they don't know, is it lawful or unlawful? They are imagining that it's lawful. And that if they had knowledge, they would know that it's not lawful. Now, Uthman, did I see you back there?
Yes, yeah, I was going to say the ihtifal bil mawlid
an-nawwi. Naam, the people who are celebrating the Prophet's birthday. Celebrating the Prophet's birthday. Why are they doing this? There's no basis for it. Because they're ignorant. So they became confused about the matter. Yani became a shubaha for them. Yani something they don't know about for sure. Obviously they don't know, because it certainly has no basis in the sharia, in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Example of shahawat. Example of a fitna from shahawat. Now I'm Abdullah. My brain is moving slow.
Seeking assistance from those in the grave.
Seeking assistance from those in the grave. Naam. Yani this could be from yani shahawat, but it's more likely to be from shubuhat. Because people they have been told that the people in the grave, if they were a saint, yani they can help you. That's because the person doesn't have knowledge, really. But it could perhaps be mixed with a person just want to do something anyway, no matter even if they know it's right or wrong. But originally it's from shubuhat. Now, yani that a person does something really out of this because of their desire. They do what? Adultery, fornication, zina, yani khamr, intoxicants, music, things that Allah, that a person has a desire to enjoy, to engage in, even though they know it's haram. It's clearly haram. It's not a doubtful matter. They know that intoxicants are haram, but they want to get intoxicated. They want to get high. They know that committing illegal sexual relations, having illegal sexual relations, they know that it's haram. They know it's haram. There's no doubt about it. But they want to enjoy, yani, that which Allah has forbidden. These are, yani, there are many examples that we could give. We just want to try to move quickly so we can get to tonight's topic. Memorize an ayat, the ayat in which Allah describes the condition of those who think their innovated actions are good. Yani from Surah Al-Kahf, 18th Surah, 103rd, 104th ayat. Who memorized this ayat? Now, okay, Mustafa. سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا
وهم يحسبون
أنهم يحسنون صنعة. نعم جزاك الله خير. يعني this, the meaning of this ayah in brief, right, يعني is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, would you like to know, shall we not inform you? He's saying to the Prophet, say to them, shall we not inform you of those who are most at loss in reference to their deeds? They're doing deeds, but they are the losers, even though they did deeds. Who are they? They are those who, yani, and in the life of this world, and their deeds, they are losers for whatever they did in this world, even though they thought that they were doing good. He said that they thought that they were doing, yani, they did things, yani, and they thought that it is good, and they think that they have done well, and in reality, Yani it's lost, right? Because what? Because they didn't have proper knowledge. So they thought that they were doing good, and in reality, they were not doing anything. All of their deeds in this world are wasted. The eighth question discussed one of the two hadith mentioned by the Shaykh rahimahullah related to the fitna of women. Related to the fitna of women. The Shaykh mentioned two hadith, one from Bukhari Muslim and the other from Muslim. Anybody remember either of those hadith? Can you just give us the general meaning if you didn't memorize it? Now, Muhammad?
Naam.
This one hadith, who knows the meaning of this hadith? Save Muhammad, he gave us the hadith. Naam.
It's more harmful to men than women.
Naam, I haven't left after me. مَا تَرَكْتُ بَعَدِي. He didn't leave anything after him that any fitna that is أَضَرَّ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. That's more harmful to the men than women. Yani the fitna that caused by women. What kind of women? Women who are disobedient to Allah, disbelievers in Allah, women who are indecent, filthy, immoral. Naam. It became the most harmful fitna upon the men. And the other hadith, anybody remember even the meaning of it? If not, the Naam, Abu Bakr? Ittaqu al-Nisa. Bani Israel. Fitnati Bani Israel. Fitnati al-Nisa. Now, the Prophet said, observe taqwa in reference to women. For indeed, verily, certainly, the first fitna for the Bani Israel, the children of Israel, it was in reference to the women, in reference to women. And we see today in this society, especially in the kuffar societies everywhere, that women are immoral, indecent, and they have no morals whatsoever, no principles, no clothing. And this is a fitna indeed for men. And now we've seen, Wallahu Musta'an, I don't know who saw the video yani, of the brief talk from Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan. I sent it out to the class. I wish that you have looked at it, even though it's 15 minutes. It's 15 minutes worth listening to, where the Shaykh talked about yani, this danger of the enemies of Islam trying to destroy Islam, destroy the Muslim family, destroy the Muslim society by bringing the women out of their homes, taking them out of their clothing, intermingling with men, and tabarruj and ikhtilat. He talked about it, yani, 15 minutes, wallahi, if you listen to it, it will benefit you as though yani, you have spent 15 hours. If you listen to it, it's a tremendous reminder of the danger that we're faced with today. Therefore, men must be responsible for their women, and women must be responsible for themselves, not to fall victim to this trap of the enemies of Islam. As they have destroyed their societies with this corruption, they want to destroy the Muslim societies as well. Wallahu musta'an. Question number 9, discuss the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Discuss the Prophet ﷺ some explanation of what would be the cause of a person leaving the fold of Islam in one day. Yani, what would be? Yani, in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ said, this fitna that would be like dark patches of dark night, such that a person would reach the morning as a believer and reach the evening as a disbeliever, or in the evening would be a believer and in the morning would be a disbeliever. I mean, in the course of one day, the person would go from iman to kufr. What would be the cause? Yani, what kind of fitna would be so great? Yani, yabiyu dinahu bi'ardin min ad-dunya. And in the narration of Imam Ahmad said, yani bi'ardin min ad-dunya qalilin. Yani, that a person would sell their deen. They would sell their deen for some yani non-essential pleasure, enjoyment, goods, property, whatever of the dunya. Some small, insignificant, nothing. Yani, they would sell their deen for this. This is indeed yani something that a person should be careful for. Nothing is more important than your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He created us to worship Him. How can you give that up for something in this dunya? Yani, for the ard, yani the mata' of the dunya, the pleasures, enjoyments that are in this world that are temporary. And inshallah, we're going to talk about a little bit about that today, inshallah. The time is short because Allah musta'an. Last question, memorize the supplication which the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to recite. He commanded us to recite after the final tashahud of prayer. What is this supplication? Naam, who's back there? Waleed.
Naam.
Jazakallah khair. Please, we have to remember this supplication. We have to remember this supplication. The Prophet ﷺ commanded us, and we mentioned in passing, but you should read the details of it. The scholars of Islam, the majority, say that it's mustahab to recite this supplication, but there are some from amongst the scholars of the people of Sunnah who say that it's obligatory to recite this supplication, and whoever doesn't recite it, then the prayer is invalid. Then their prayer is invalid. And the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said in another place, in discussing this supplication, he said, in spite of, without looking at the difference of opinion, is it obligatory or not, the point is the great benefit that's in it and the great harm that a person is seeking refuge from is so important that nobody should leave it. The Prophet ﷺ ordered us at the end of the salat, after the tashahud, before you make taslim, to recite these, to cite this supplication, seeking refuge in Allah from the punishment of the hellfire and from the punishment of the grave, which is real, and from what? The fitna, the fitnas, the trials of life and death, and also from what? The fitna of the greatest trial in this dunya, yani the Masih al-Dajjal, the Antichrist. Time is short. Let's do the best we can to cover what we have for tonight. The Shaykh, he says, this, yani the second hadith, hadith number 88, the second hadith from this chapter, An Abi Sirwa'ata, or Sarwa'ata, yani the name is written, يعني with كسرة with فتة سروعة يعني أقبة ابن الحارث رضي الله عنه قال صليت وراء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالمدينة العصر يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم as narrated from Abu Huraira from Abu Sirwa أقبة ابن الحارث رضي الله عنه he said that he said I prayed behind the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in Medina, the Asr prayer. Meaning he prayed, the Prophet ﷺ was leading the prayer. He prayed along with him, the Asr prayer. فَسَلَّمَ ثُمَّ قَامَ مُسْرِعًا فَتَخَطَّى رِقَابَ النَّاسِ إِلَى بَعْدِ حُجَرِ نِسَائِهِ Then the Prophet made taslim. Yani he ended the prayer by saying, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, to the right and the left. And he stood up quickly and hastened, stepping over the people, going towards one of the rooms or houses of one of his wives. Quickly, hastily. فَفَزِعَ النَّاسُ مِنْ سُرَعَتِهِ The people were startled, alarmed. فَزِعَ يعني maybe frightened. Because, why? Because this wasn't something they saw him do. يعني after the prayer, the Prophet ﷺ would sit for some time, making dhikr or whatever. He didn't jump up and run out. They were startled and afraid and frightened and alarmed that something is going on. This is unusual. That's not his practice. Today it's the normal practice, right? When the prayer is over, people run out of the masjid. Like there's a fire in the building. But that wasn't the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, he used to sit after the prayer. And that's what is yani, incumbent upon us. Unless a person is hastening for some emergency, some need, yani that they have to yani, attend to immediately. So he stepped over the people and he went to the rooms of wives, one of his wives. And the people were alarmed at this hasty, yani his hasty departure from the salat. فَخَرَجَ عَلَيْهِمْ Then he came out to them, meaning he came back, he returned back to the masjid. فَرَأَى أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ عَجِبُوا مِنْ سُرَعَتِهِ And when he came out, he saw, he realized that the people were, yani astonished, they were amazed, they were surprised at his speed, yani the speed of him leaving, the urgency of the matter that they saw. So he explained to them what was happening. Why did he race out of the masjid? He said, ذَكَرْتُ شَيْئًا مِنْ تِبْرٍ عِنْدَنَا I remembered, and he had forgotten about, in the prayer he remembered that there was some gold, yani some pieces of gold that were with him, yani with us, meaning in the house, that were given to him to distribute or whatever, for some reason, yani some charity, as mentioned in another narration. He remembered while he was in the prayer. And he said, فَكَرِهْتُ أَيَحْبِسَنِي فَأَمَرْتُ بِقِسْمَتِهِ He said, so I disliked that, yani this will, يَحْبِسَنِي yani there are two meanings, most of the scholars said it means, يُشْغِلُنِي yani that it will occupy him from focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He feared that this would occupy his mind and distract him from focusing on Allah. Other meaning they said, some of the scholars said in the different explanations of Sahih al-Bukhari, some of them said that it may mean يحبسني, يعني will hold me back, meaning on يوم القيامة, the one who held back the zakat or charity or some obligation that they should have been given out to the people who are in need and have a right to it, that maybe this will cause them to be held back from going forward on يوم القيامة. These are the two meanings that the scholars have given for this. He said, I disliked that I would be held back or that I would be distracted by this, so I commanded, yani that he ordered somebody else, appointed somebody else to distribute it. This is the hadith reported by Bukhari. And in another narration of Bukhari, the wording is كُنْتُ خَلَّفْتُ فِي الْبَيْتِ تِبْرًا مِنَ الصَّدَقَةِ. He said, I had yani left behind in the house some gold from the sadaqah, something that was supposed to be distributed as charity. فَكَرَتُ أَنْ أُبَيِّتَهُ. And I dislike, and أُبَيِّتَهُ means yani I dislike that I reached the night while this yani gold is still with me, that the night came upon me. Yani, otherwise he wanted to make sure it was awesome, but he thought about it. He said, I don't want the night to come upon me and I didn't distribute this to those who are entitled to it. This shows what? The haste, the rush, the concern of the Prophet ﷺ to take care of something that he was given to give out. That's a responsibility, a manner. And he didn't like to delay it for one moment. It came to his mind in the prayer, and when the prayer was over, he hastened to go out and make sure that it's taken care of. That's how important it was to him. But as for us, maybe somebody gave you an amana, you might didn't deliver it that day or the next day or a week or month. You might not deliver it at all. And we'll be asked about it on Yawm al-Qiyamah. On the Day of Judgment, we'll be asked. Not that you didn't give it, even that you delayed it from giving it to those who are entitled to it. Whatever it might be, as an amana. The Shaykh, he says, and in the translation of the book, the first paragraph of the explanation is not there. Yani, it starts with the second paragraph. So what I'm going to read to you now is not in the translation of the book. It's in Arabic, but it's not in the translation. For whatever reason, they left it out. Yani, the Shaykh, rahimahullah, he says, قال المؤلف, rahimahullah. Yani, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen is saying, the مؤلف, meaning who's the مؤلف? The one who wrote the book? An-Nawwi, Imam An-Nawwi. He said, قال المؤلف, meaning Imam Nawwi, rahimahullah, فيما نقله عن عقبة بن حارث رضي الله عنه, in that which he has transmitted from عقبة بن حارث, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that he prayed. The Shaykh is now explaining that hadith that we just read. He said that عقبة is saying that he prayed with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that day, a particular day, the Asr prayer. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stood up when he had finished from his prayer hastily, and he stepped over the necks of the people, meaning he stepped over the people going towards one of the rooms of his wives. And when he came out, after he did what he went to do to make sure that that was distributed, the gold that was there, then he came out and he saw that the people were astonished, were amazed from that, yani from his behavior, his action of hastily leaving from the ending of the prayer and hastily going to his home. So he made clear, the Prophet ﷺ made clear what was the reason for this. And he explained to them that I had remembered, I had forgotten, and then I remembered something from gold, yani that was with us, meaning that which was obligated to be yani distributed. It was obligatory upon him to have distributed it. He said, I dislike that I be distracted by it or held back by it, so I commanded that it be distributed. Now the Shaykh mentions about 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 different points here on this hadith. And we're going to mention them, yani, as he mentioned them. But the first one is the most important. The first one, he says, فَفِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ, yani from the benefits of this hadith or the meanings of this hadith, الْمُبَادْرَ إِلَى فِعْلَ الْخَيْرِ وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَلَا يَتَوَانَى الْإِنسَانُ عَنْ فِعْلِهِ, yani الْمُبَادْرَ إِلَى فِعْلَ الْخَيْرِ. Yani from this hadith we understand that one should hasten, should rush, should hurry to do anything that is considered good by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Sharia, in the Sunnah, in Islam. And that they should not delay, hold back, yani, take their time. Person should not delay in doing good. And this is because, why? The Shaykh said, لَأَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَا يَدْرِي مَتَى يُفَاجِعُهُ الْمَوْتِ فَيَفُوتُهُ الْخَيْرُ. Look at this sentence here. Why should we hasten to do good? He said, because no, a person doesn't know when death may suddenly come to him. Nobody knows when they're going to die. And thereby, the khair will pass them by. Because death came and they delayed doing it, so they didn't get done. So So if a person has knows some, there's some khair, hasten to do it. Don't imagine that you're going to live until tomorrow, until next month or next year. Do it now. Don't put it off. Because death may suddenly come to you, as it came to many people. Every one of us must have known someone who died suddenly without advance notice. They didn't get notice. They didn't weren't sick or anything. They just died suddenly. I myself have seen it in many cases. In my almost 70 years, I've seen it a lot of times. The Shaykh, he says, why? Because the person doesn't know when death may suddenly overtake them, and therefore the good will pass them by. He said, so, والإنسان ينبغي أن يكون كيسا يعمل لما بعد الموت ولا يتهاون. And this is also a very important statement here from the Shaykh. And I said this first paragraph is the most important of them. He said, it is incumbent that a person be كيس, يعني be wise, smart, intelligent. A real intelligent person, what does he do? يعمل لما بعد الموت. يعني he works for what will come after death. No doubt about it, we would die. We will be resurrected. We will be called to account. And we'll be rewarded or punished. The person who's wise, who's intelligent, they work for that time. Not for the life in this world, but لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. This is the smart person. The people who are working for the dunya are the dumb people. So, yani, we can describe ourselves however we like, but if we are working for the dunya instead of the akhirah, we are not smart. Let's make it nice. We are not smart. I won't say anybody is dumb. The Shaykh says, and listen, another important, subhanAllah, this is what happens when you read from the scholars. This is what happens when we read the books of the scholars. This is not like other people talking. The Shaykh, he says one line after another, إِذَا كَانَ الْإِنسَانِ فِي أُمُورِ دُنْيَاهُ يَكُونُ مُسْرِعًا وَيَنْتَهِزَ الْفُرَصِ فَإِنَّ الْوَاجِبَ عَلَيْهِ فِي الْأُمُورِ أُخْرَاهُ أَنْ يَكُونُ كَذَلِكَ بَلْ أَوْلَى. يعني if a person, in reference to their worldly affairs, are quick and they are hastening to take advantage of any opportunity that came, and the opportunity came for something in the world, for some worldly benefit, some money or something like that, people hastening for it. So the Shaykh said if a person does that in their worldly affairs, they take advantage of every opportunity that comes, then it is obligatory in the affairs of the next life that they likewise hasten to take advantage of the opportunities to earn the reward of Allah. An opportunity came to give charity, don't delay it, hasten. The same way you would hasten for something of the dunya, hasten for the reward of the akhirah. The Shaykh said, yani, bel awla, yani, rather, hastening for the things of the next life are more worthy. It is, yani, better that a person, yani, or that the things of the next life have more right that we hasten to do them than the things of this dunya. And then he says, he mentions the saying of Allah, and this ayat requires discussion. We don't have time to discuss it. But today I was reading some three or four or five different tafsirs concerning this ayat. Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous. Whoever is able to read the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di or Shaykh al-Imam Ibn Kathir, they've both given some beautiful explanation of this ayat. And, you know, it's up to you to go back and read it, because we don't have time. The Shaykh, he said, in reference to this matter of the hereafter having more right that we attend to it and we hasten to seek the rewards of the next life over this world, he says the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after Allah mentioned those who will be successful, after mentioning those who will be successful, who purify themselves, who remember Allah and who perform prayer, these people will be successful, then Allah said, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي الصُّحُفِ الْأُولَى صُحُفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى. Surah Al-A'la, 87th Surah, 16th through 19th Ayat. Yani after Allah mentioned those who will be successful by worshipping Allah, by purifying their soul, by remembering Allah, by making salat, he said, but rather, تُعْذِرُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They give preference to the life of this world, while the akhirah, the next life, the hereafter, the paradise, is better. خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى and more lasting. And verily this is in the scriptures of the earlier scriptures, yani the suhuf of Ibrahim and Musa alayhi salam. And the Shaykh is saying that in this ayah, this is the proof of what? that people generally prefer the life of this world. And if we just look at how much time we spend in worship in the course of a day, how many hours do you spend praying every day? Add it up. Take a time to add it up. 10 minutes, 15 minutes for each prayer, 5 prayers. That hardly adds up to an hour. How much time do you spend seeking money? How many hours do you spend on a job? Do you spend that much money seeking the reward of Allah? Huh? Think about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Bel, rather these people give the people, not these people, the people, meaning us people. We give preference. تُعْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. You give preference to the life of this world while the hereafter is خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. It is better in its qualities and what it has to offer. And it is أَبْقَى and it is more lasting. Yani, it is perfect. That's how I like to say it in English. It is perfect and it is permanent. Yani, the quality of it is perfection in Jannah. Everything in the Jannah is perfect. And the things in this world are defective, all of it. It's all defective. Even the best manufacturers, their products are defective. But in the Jannah, everything will be perfect. And everything in this world is temporary. Right? It has a time period. It lasts for 6 years or 10 years or 20 years, whatever. But it don't last forever. But in the Jannah, everything will be perfect. And it will be permanent. And if you look at the tafsirs concerning this, and from amongst the most striking things said by the scholars of tafsir, is that the intelligent person, and we go back to Qayyis, but they said Aqil, and the person who's really intelligent, they would never substitute the temporary pleasure of 1 hour, 1 day, or 1 week. In exchange, what they will pay for that is permanent sadness, grief, sorrow, and pain in the hellfire. Because of what? Temporary pleasure. I just gotta enjoy this. Even though it means you may be in the hellfire forever, no intelligent person will exchange, will pay for this temporary pleasure with the price of being in the hellfire forever, eternally. And I mean, that is the most striking thing that I read. And they said a lot of things. This, after this, the Shaykh said, also in this hadith, or this, fi hadha al-hadith dalil, is an evidence that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asra al-nas mubadaratan ila al-khayr, that he was the quickest of all people in hastening to do good. He was quicker than everybody in hastening to do good. And he's our example. He's our example. Why don't we be quick in hastening to do good? We hesitate, postpone, delay, put off. Yani, until when? And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, muhtaj ila al-amal kama anna غَيْرَهُ مُحْتَاجِ لَلْأَمَلِ, that the Prophet ﷺ, he is in need of doing good deeds, like everybody other than him is in need of doing good deeds. He also is in need to do good. He didn't get a free pass. He has to do good. But he understands that. And that's why he hastens to do good, and we delay. And then the Shaykh said, to prove this, that which, when the Prophet ﷺ spoke to the people, and he said, إِنَّهُ لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ أَحْدٌ بِعَمَلِهِ, that no person will ever enter the paradise just simply based on their deeds alone. They said, "Wala anta?" Not even you, O Messenger of Allah. He said, "Wala ana illa yataghammadani Allah bi rahmatihi." That even I will not enter the Jannah just by deeds alone, except that Allah covers me with His rahmah, His mercy. But a person, nobody will enter the Jannah by their deeds alone, as we mentioned last week or the week before, but a person will enter Jannah by the rahmah of Allah and by the fadl, the favor of Allah, if they did good to earn His favor, not to earn Jannah. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ said what? That no person will enter the Jannah by his deeds alone. They said, not even you. He said, not even me, except that Allah covers me with His mercy. وَهَذَا هُوَ النَّبِيَّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. This is in reference to who? The Prophet ﷺ. Then what about us? Yeah, and if he is in need like this, what is our condition then? And also in this hadith is an evidence of the permission, the permissibility of stepping over the people after the salam. Yani after the taslim from the salat. Yani when the salat is completed by saying assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, the salat is complete, it's permissible to step over the people, especially if a person has a need or necessity to attend to. It's permissible after the salat is over. And this is because the people, yani after the salat has been completed, they are not in need to stay in their places. Rather, they have the right to leave. After the salat is over, people have a right to leave. So it's permissible for a person to get up and leave, as opposed to stepping over the people before the salat. Yani, while people are lining up for the salat, waiting for the salat, stepping over the people in this condition, the Shaykh says, فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مَنْهِيٌ عَنْهُ. Yani, it's prohibited. And this is because it harms the people. People are lining up for the prayer, don't step over the people. Yani, if you came late, you stay in the back. You came first, you go to the front. You don't step over the people before the salat. This is harmful to the people. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ cut off his khutbah on Yawm al-Jumu'ah when he saw a man stepping over the people, and he said to him, اجلس فقد آذيت. Hadith reported by Abu Dawud, Nasa'i, and Ibn Hibban. He said, sit, stop stepping over the people, sit, you are harming the people. Sit, stop it. And in this hadith also is an evidence that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَغَيْرِهِ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ, that the Messenger of Allah is like every other human being. He's a human being. He's not created from light. Huh? He's a human being. He doesn't have any special, yani, abilities, superpowers or something. Except, as the Shaykh mentioned, one difference, right? He said, he is like other human beings. Even he will be overcome by forgetfulness. And he may forget just as other people forget. How is this from this hadith? How is this point from this hadith? He said, ذَكَرْتُ, I remembered that I had left some gold in the house. Meaning that before that he had forgotten about it. And then the after prayer he remembered. Maybe the whole day is almost gone. He forgot. So the Shaykh is saying that even forgetfulness may overcome him like it overcomes other people. So if the Prophet ﷺ يَنْسَى مَا كَانَ مَعْلُومٌ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ, yani if the Prophet ﷺ forgets something that was known to him before, he used to know it, but he might forget it. When you forget, you don't know anymore, right? You don't know. I used to know, but I don't know now. When you forgot, you don't know anymore. So if he could forget something that he used to know, فَإِنَّهُ كَذَلِكَ مِنْ بَابْ أَوْلَى يَجْهَلْ مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ مَعْلُومًا عِنْدُهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ, then it is more like, more right to expect that there are things that he will not know about, that he never knew at all. If he never knew it, so how will he know? So there are things that the Prophet knew but he forgot, and there are things that he didn't know originally, he never knew. He doesn't know everything. Yani, only Allah has knowledge of everything, right? So this is the point that the Shaykh is making here. What? That from the Prophet ﷺ forgetting, we can understand logically that there are things that he doesn't know because he forgot. He used to know but he doesn't know anymore. And there are other things that he never knew at all, aslan, that he never knew. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him in Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 50th ayat, قُلْ لَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي خَزَائِنُ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ وَلَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ إِنِّي مَلَكٌ. Yani, he said, Allah ordered the Prophet, say, yani, to the people, to everybody, I am not saying to you that I control the treasures of Allah, that they are in my possession, under my control. And I do not say to you that I know the unseen. I don't know everything. Allah only knows the unseen. And I am not saying to you that I am an angel. And he's just a human being. So Allah has ordered the Prophet ﷺ to announce publicly in front of everybody that he does not control the treasures of Allah, that he does not know the unseen, that he is not an angel, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi. He is not an angel. And in this, yani, in this particular point, in this ayat, and this point, yani, is cutting off the way from those who seek refuge in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for their important affairs and calamities and disasters and afflictions that befall them. They turn to the Prophet seeking refuge in the Prophet. This is cutting off this way. They are seeking their needs, their important affairs, that when calamities befall them, they are supplicating to the Prophet, to a human being who has passed away. Salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi. He said, this cutting off this idea. For indeed, these people who do so, who call on the Prophet instead of calling upon Allah, these are his enemies. These are not his awliya, his friends or his followers or his, yani, the people who are with him, allies. And this is because the Prophet ﷺ, if he were living, he would have commanded these people to repent from what they are doing. And if they had repented, then that would be good. And otherwise, if they didn't repent, then he would have killed them. The punishment for apostasy. Why? لأنهم مشركون. Because they are mushriks. They are idol worshippers. They are people who worship something besides Allah. Naam. Maybe not idols, but they are worshipping other than Allah. They are taking something to be worshipped besides Allah. And indeed, it is not permissible for any human being to call on anything or anyone other than Allah Azza wa Jalla. Not even an angel that is near to Allah. Not even a prophet that has been sent by Allah. Then what about something else? What about a tree or a cow or a stone or a person who just died who they call he's a saint? Naam. It's not permissible. And this is because the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّمَا جَاءَ لِهِمَايَةِ التَّوْهِيدِ وَتَحْقِيقِ عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. And because he has come, he has been mission, has been sent for the protection, preservation of a tawheed. And for the realization, the actualization, the implementation of the worship of Allah alone. And this chapter, Himayat al-Tawheed, is mentioned by Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah in his book, Kitab al-Tawheed, in two different places, yani specifically this particular topic. Yani Himayat al-Tawheed, the protection, the safeguarding, the preservation of Tawheed, the actualization, the implementation of the worship of Allah alone. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he does not know the unseen. He also forgets some things that he used to know before. And he is in need of eating and drinking and clothing and protection from his enemies. And it happened that he came out in the battle of Uhud with two pieces of armor. Huh? Two pieces of armor. Huh? Yani he wore two pieces of armor, خوفاً من السلاح. خوفاً. Yani what? المفعول لأجله. Huh? Huh? Who said that? نعم. خوفاً من السلاح. Yani out of fear of the harm that come from the weapons of the enemies on the battlefield. He put on coats of armor. Naam. Because he's a human being. So he is like any other human being. All of the ahkam, the rules and yani things that are related to the nature of human beings, they also apply to him, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him in Surah Al-Kahf, 18th Surah, 110th ayat. And this one we also have to go back and read the tafsir, very tremendous, important tafsir, but there's no time. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشْرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet, say, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشْرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Say that I am indeed, surely, certainly, I am only, no more than a human being, a mortal human being. مِثْلُكُمْ, just like you all. Except it has been revealed to me, يُوحَى إِلَيَّ, that your ilah is ilahun wahid. That your ilah, the one that must be worshipped, he is only one. So whoever has hope in the meeting of their Rabb, then they must do righteous deeds and they must not associate anything in the worship, yani in the worship of their Rabb, they must not associate anyone with him. And the end of the ayat here I just added, yani just for the point of the meaning, that whoever has hope of the meeting of their Lord and his reward, then they must do what? They must do righteous deeds, meaning in accordance with the sunnah, and they must not associate anyone with their Rabb, meaning they must avoid shirk, they have to have ikhlas. And they must be, here we came back to what? Al-mutaba'ah, following the Prophet ﷺ, and ikhlas. Yani worshipping, doing worship for Allah alone. And the tafsir of this ayat is tremendous. Wallahu musta'an. I wish that we could look at it. So the Shaykh, he says after mentioning this, so reflect upon the description, yani how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet, yani to say, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشْرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Look at this description that Allah ordered him to describe himself with. He said, yani that he is a bashar, a human being, مِثْلُكُمْ, like you all human beings. And if he had just said, yani, if he had not said, مِثْلُكُمْ, And if he had just said إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشْرٌ without saying like you, that would have been sufficient. Yani, it would have been sufficient if he just said that I'm a human being. Then we would have known بِطَرِيقَةِ الْقِيَاسِ by just comparison that he is a human being like every other human being. We would have understood this. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to say not only that he's a human being, but he's a human being like you all. Yani, that he said, I don't have any distinction over you. Yani, I am no different from you إِلَّا بِالْوَحْيِ except by revelation. Yani, that Allah, it has been revealed to me that your ilah is one, that your God, yani, the one that must be worshipped, he's only one, yani, he should be worshipped alone. This is the only distinction between the Prophet ﷺ and the rest of the people, that he is a prophet, that he was given revelation. Otherwise, he's in need of food and drink and sleep and clothing and protection from harm like every other human being. And also in this hadith, yani, the Shaykh says also in this hadith is another point, is the yani dalil ala shiddat al amana wa idhamiha. Yani, in this hadith also shows what the seriousness of the amana, a trust. Yani, in this hadith the Prophet was entrusted with some gold, and when he remembered that after time, he hastened to have it distributed because of what, the severity of trust, the importance, the significance of trust and its greatness. And that a human being, إذا لم يبادر بأدائها فإنها قد تحبسه. And that if a person doesn't hasten to fulfill, yani, the trust, to yani convey the trust to whoever it's supposed to be given to, then he might be held up by it, or he might be distracted by it. And he might be held up by it on Yawm al-Qiyamah, or he might be distracted by it now, because that may come on his mind and prevent him from thinking about anything else. And for this reason, yani, the Prophet ﷺ said, karihtu, I hated, I disliked, I detested that it would hold me back or it would distract me in yani my need and my desire to be focusing on the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, the Shaykh said, إِذَا كَانَ هَذَا فِي الْأَمَانَةِ فَكَذَلِكَ أَيْضًا فِي الدَّيْنِ. If this is so, yani the importance of hastening to deliver, to convey, to fulfill the trust that has been given to you, then likewise, it's also so in reference to the dain, the debt that a person has. And whoever has a debt, hasten to pay it off. It is obligatory upon the human being to hasten to fulfill his debt or her debt, if it is due, إذا كان حالا. If it's due, when it's due, you have to hasten to fulfill it. Except if the sahib al-dain, the one who it is owed to, if they grant you permission to delay, then there's no harm in delaying it, if they have given you permission. As far as the one who has not given you permission to delay it, then it is obligatory upon you to hasten to fulfill, yani to pay the debts that are upon you, such that the scholars, rahimahumullah, they said, even the obligation of performing pilgrimage, yani, is removed, is dropped from the person who has a debt until they pay it. لِنَّ الدَّيْنَ أَمْرُهُ عَظِيمٌ. Because the paying of debt is a very, very important matter. And this doesn't mean that if a person has a debt, yani, that they have to pay their rent every month, or that they have, yani, a car that they're paying somebody on in installments or something, or whatever debt that they have. If the person says, no matter, you can pay me in 6 months, you can pay me in 1 year, it doesn't mean you can't make Hajj. As long as you are paying the debt as it's due, then don't say, I can't make Hajj because I'm in debt. You might be in debt for the rest of your life. But rather, if it's due, you have to give that money to the person it's due. But if they said, you can pay me next month, when you come back, or in 6 months, or next year, or you pay me every month a little bit, no problem, then please go ahead and make Hajj. Don't make an excuse and never make Hajj. But let's get rid of these debts. The Shaykh, he said, the Prophet ﷺ, before Allah had granted him victories in wars in which spoils came, if a person was brought to him to be, yani, for janazah to be performed over, he would say, Hal alayhi dain, does he have any debt? Yani, before he would pray over the person. And if they said no, then he would step forward. And if they said yes, then he would ask, does he have any means to pay it off? And if they said yes, then he would step forward and he would pray over him. And if they said no, then he would step back and he would not pray over that person. Huh? That's how serious it is. Person had debt, they had no means to pay it, the Prophet ﷺ would not perform janazah prayer over that person. That's the sunnah. person who's in debt, they don't have the right for the person in authority, the person of prestige and honor, to pray over them. They don't have that right. Somebody else has to pray over them. The Prophet ﷺ, if they had debt and they had nothing to pay it with, then he would step back and he wouldn't pray over them. He would leave off performing the prayer over the dead person if they had upon them some debt. So it happened one day that a man from the Ansar was brought to the Prophet ﷺ to perform janazah over him, person who had died. And the Prophet stepped forward a little bit, and then he asked, does he have any debt? And they said, yes, O Messenger of Allah, he has 3 dinanir, yani 3 dinars, gold coins, yani 3 dinars in debt. And he doesn't have any way to pay it. So the Prophet stepped back, and he said, Sallu ala sahibukum. You people pray over your companion. Huh? فَعَرَفَ ذَلِكَ فِي وُجُوهِ الْقَوْمِ. Yani the effect of the Prophet stepping back and refusing to pray over him, you could see it. You knew the effect that it had in their faces. Their faces was like, Subhanallah. Yani, the Prophet is not going to pray over him. Huh? You could see in their faces, تغيرت وجوههم, their faces changed. How is it that he would not pray? The Prophet ﷺ would not pray over this man. And at this point, Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu, he stepped forward and he said, O Messenger of Allah, his deen is upon me, I will pay it. Naam. So the Prophet ﷺ stepped forward and he prayed over him. Unfortunately, the Shaykh says, today, al-an, you find many people who have debt and they are able to pay their debts. But they delay, they postpone, they procrastinate. وَيَّاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And we seek refuge in Allah from such. Person has a debt, they have the ability to pay, they don't pay. This is common. And it has been confirmed from the Prophet ﷺ that he said, مُطْلُ الْغَنِيِّ ظُلْمُ. Yani the delay, the postponement, the procrastination of a rich person from paying their debt is ظُلْم. Not that they didn't pay it, they delayed it. They put it off, I'll do it later, another time, whenever. This is ظُلْم. Zulm, naam, oppression, transgression, naam. This hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. So know, and we're coming to the end now, yani, so know that the debt is not as some of the people understand. Yani, some people understand that the debt is that a person takes some sila, yani they purchase something, bithamina akthar min thamaniha. Yani they purchase it for more than what it should be costing. So if they didn't have enough money to pay, so they went into debt. They wasn't able to pay the full price, so they went into debt. Some people think that this is debt and that's it. The Shaykh said, no, debt is more comprehensive than that. It is everything that is confirmed, fi dhimma, yani that a person is liable to pay. Anything that is upon you to pay, that's a debt. Yani even he said, the qard or the salaf, yani meaning, the qard means a loan, but salaf means more specifically like, somebody giving you some cash in advance. And we make a transaction, you're going to purchase something, before the goods are turned over, they pay for it in advance. So they gave you the money in advance. So that's like a loan, right? They gave you some cash in advance, that's a debt on you. That's a debt on you. He said, even the person's rent for their house, or their apartment, or wherever they live, that's also a debt on you until it's paid. And even, he said, the ujra of the sayyar. And you get in a taxi, and you have to pay the taxi, right? Until you pay, yani that debt is hanging over you. That's a debt. Anything that is that you are held liable for to pay, whatever it might be for, this is a debt. Yani the Shaykh says, everything that you are liable for is a debt. عَلَيْكَ أَن تُبَادِرْ بِوَفَائِهِ مَدَامَ حَالًا. Yani it is incumbent upon us to hasten to pay these debts when they are due, as soon as they are due, without delay. And finally in this hadith the Shaykh says, is an evidence of the permissibility of tawkeel, yani delegating, appointing somebody to distribute that which it is obligatory upon someone to distribute. Meaning the imam, he has some sadaqah that has to be given out, he can appoint one of the brothers or one of the sisters to give to the sisters or whatever, he can appoint somebody to do it on his behalf. This is permissible. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ said, when he went to his house and he came back, he explained to them what happened. He said, I remember that there was some gold, فَأَمَرْتُ بِقِسْمَتِهِ. So I commanded, I ordered somebody to distribute it, يعني mean on my behalf. Naam. And this, yani tawqeel, يعني وهذا التلكيل جائز في كل حق تدخله النيابة. This point is left out of the translation. It's not يعني full. Okay? This يعني delegating somebody is permissible in every right that allows for niyaba. Yani not every right allows for somebody to take your place. But those things that allow somebody else to do it on your behalf, okay, you can appoint somebody. Can you appoint somebody to make salatul dhuha for you? Nah. No. Can you appoint somebody to fast Ramadan for you? I'm not fasting this month, you fast for me? No. Not every right allows for niyaba. But this tawkeel, appointing somebody, is in those things that allow for you to appoint somebody to substitute for you. From the rights of Allah, like Hajj. Yani in certain cases, it's permissible to appoint somebody to make Hajj for someone else. In certain cases. Or like in the distribution of the zakat. It's permissible to appoint somebody to do it on your behalf. Or in the rights of the human beings, like buying and selling, or in mortgaging or pawning, like a person. And in the old days, you used to have a pawn shop. You needed some money, you go and take your watch. They'll see how much the value is and they'll give you some money for it. Huh? And then when you bring that money back, it's like a loan they're giving you. Then they give you back your goods. Okay? So this, the Sheikh said, even in this kind of situation or whatever is similar to this, it's permissible to appoint somebody on your behalf. And finally the Sheikh says, وَخُلَاصَةُ الْحَذَا الْحَدِيثِ, yani the summary, the sum and substance of this hadith is hastening to doing good deeds. Rushing, hurrying to doing good deeds and not taking the matter lightly. Yani may Allah save us from taking the matter lightly. Every day, day and night, we are finding opportunities for doing good. If it was an opportunity to earn $10,000, $50,000, $100,000, it can't wait. We might not even go to the prayer that day because I got to go and get this. Huh? The same way you desirous of the worldly benefits that are temporary, then more so we should be desiring, hastening without delay to seek the khairat, the good things, without delay. And the Shaykh closes by saying, know that if you accustom your nafs to yani taking the matter lightly, being lenient and easy, then this will become its habit. Yani put off the prayer, I'll pray a little bit later, 3 hours before the next prayer, I'll pray later. If you get accustomed to taking the matter lightly, this will become the habit. But if you accustom yourself to what being yani determined, resolve, and doing things, and hastening to do them, to doing good, then this will become your habit. You will become accustomed to that, and that's what you will be doing all the time. And the Shaykh, he closes by saying, As'alullah ta'ala, أَيُعِينَنِي وَإِيَّاكُمْ عَلَى ذِكْرِهِ وَشُكْرِهِ وَحُسْنِ عِبَادَتِهِ. And this is from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he said, اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. Yani the Shaykh, he gave the meaning of this supplication. He said, I ask Allah the Most High to help me, وإياكم, and then you. And I failed to mention this last week, when the Shaykh, sometimes when he makes dua, sometimes he'll say, me and you. And sometimes he'll say us. But it is something to note that a person says, may Allah help me and you all too. But me first. Because I'm more in need. And you too, no problem. May Allah help me and you to remember Him and to be thankful to Him and to worship Him in the best manner. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.